Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Stylefile, where we cover everything and anything on the business of fashion. I'm Azura Rahman, and this week we speak to the founder of Rosie on Fire, Angeline Koo.
Rosie on Fire is meant to make a woman feel confident and glamorous, but like an easy, attainable glamour.
Next, Emma Chong Johnson of Elle Malaysia breaks down the trend of pleated skirts.
So the current trend is like a midi length, so somewhere between your knee and your ankle. This is something obviously you can play with depending on your height, because midi skirts don't look good on everyone unless you're willing to commit to wearing heels all the time.
But first up, our star maker for this week, Angeline Koo of Rosie on Fire. In an age where fashion labels are keen to diversify their act, it's a brave step to pin your entire range on just one garment. That's exactly what homegrown label Rosie on Fire did with their range of lightweight, sheer kimonos handmade by artisans in Malaysia. Crafted from printed and boldly coloured chiffon, Rosie on Fire's kimonos make for the perfect layering piece even in hot and humid weather. Adeline Chung caught up with its founder, former law graduate Angeline Koo, to find out more.
My background is in retailing, based on family stuff, and it's been something I've always wanted to do on my own. But when I was younger, I didn't really have the experience or the exposure, so as I got older, I just wanted to like branch out and try my hand at something myself.
And earlier you actually mentioned that, you know, you did law back in uni. How did you move to fashion then?
I did law on the advice of my parents, because I think like any Asian child, you're encouraged in that direction. But it was always to be involved in the family business.
Right.
It was never to practice law.
Your online boutique name is pretty unique. Who is Rosie?
Supposedly I'm Rosie, but I say anybody can be Rosie. The name came about in quite a unique way. I was looking for something feminine but very playful. I'm not actually supposed to tell the story because it's quite embarrassing. It's not like a cute story. But I came home one day after 6 months of like working on this, had no inspiration for a name, and a secret admirer had left some cake. Cake at my house. And this cake was like super pretty, pink, very girly, feminine. And then when I ate it, it was like sweet but salty and spicy and just this really like strange flavor. But it really worked. And so from there...
That explains Rosie on Fire.
It's a terrible story, right?
No, I think it's a great story. It's something unique. It's a unique story, I would say.
My brother, when I told him, he said, never tell the story publicly.
Now you're on air.
Yeah, rebellious sister. And yeah, I'm on air telling everyone.
Now, maybe can you describe to us what Rosie on Fire is all about?
Yes, Rosie on Fire is meant to make a woman feel confident and glamorous, but like an easy, attainable glamour. Playful, kind of capturing that youthfulness, this playful heart of people that don't take fashion too seriously, where it's just supposed to be fun and lighthearted. Cheeky, a bit cheeky.
Cheeky.
Yeah.
Being surrounded with family businesses like Metro Jaya and Laura Ashley, do you think that any of your heritage has helped you in opening your boutique?
Definitely. I think, one, I was very lucky growing up in a family that gave me exposure to like big retail, big business, brand building, because it allowed me myself to sort of dream big. And then, like, more than that, I was always involved in the discussions. We were always talking about it over the dinner table. I would go along to the meetings. And so it was an interest I had from young. So both my parents were very involved.
Would you say that your dad is your mentor?
Both my parents I've got inspiration from. They're both brilliant at retail, like undeniably, both really successful. And so my inspiration really comes from both of them.
What was the journey like then? You know, did you face any challenges building this business up?
Yes. Every day,
tell
I think
us.
I face a new challenge. Because it's my first time starting my own thing, you face tiny challenges and huge challenges all the time. And also coming back to Malaysia and just doing something here, there's obviously for me like cultural differences I have to learn to work with as well. Even things like registering a company, knowing how to do your accounts, like everything like that you learn from scratch.
And just so, one-man show, you do everything.
Yeah, you do everything. I have an amazing team that helps. But at the beginning, it was very much me and someone else just doing like everything.
So are you just working on your own or do you have a big team? Or
I have a small team.
Okay.
Yeah, and we collaborate on everything.
Are they all in Malaysia?
They're all in Malaysia. We have someone in London that's working on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing because everyone who's part of the team really treats it like it's their own. So mm-hmm. we all really give it like 100%. And I'm lucky to have that.
That's great. From Perth, you know, what made you want to come back to Malaysia then?
I think when I was 5, I moved to Canada. And then I grew up in Canada. And then when I was 18, I moved to London.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did all of my university schooling. And then a few years back, I was back in Malaysia on some family business, and I just felt really at home here. I think something to do with, you know, my family roots are here.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have personal like interests in things like autism charities and women's rights charities, I've always wanted to contribute somewhere. And I just saw a need in Malaysia that I thought I could help with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I chose to come back here and do it here.
Now, since December 2015, your brand Rosie on Fire has only been operating for about a few short months. I mean, how has the Malaysian market been like?
It's been good. So mm-hmm. online has been slightly more challenging than pop-up shops.
How come?
I think because the online market is not quite as developed here as it is overseas, people aren't quite as used to shopping online. I found it not as much as I'm used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I found a few challenges here where I thought people would be more responsive online, and they haven't quite been. But mm-hmm. in person, it's been really successful.
I mean, who would you say your biggest inspiration in terms of like designing kimonos and all?
Well, I actually design what I would like to wear, which is a ridiculous answer.
You are your inspiration.
I know that's what it sounds like, right? But it's not. I think the inspiration for the company is more my mom.
Uh-huh.
Because she's just like super glamorous, but she doesn't like try so hard. It's just like this innate kind of elegance. Mm-hmm. So that's where I draw inspiration from. In terms of the things we actually design, I have to like it. I have to be like, oh yeah, that's cute. You know, I would wear that. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't make something that I don't think is nice myself.
Now, as we can see, Rosie on Fire only produces kimono-inspired fashion apparels. Now, what was the inspiration to solely sell kimonos?
Because when I came back to Malaysia, I mm-hmm. noticed it hadn't really hit the market yet.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, kimono is one of the most versatile pieces you can have in your closet, especially the modern kimonos, which is what we do. Because especially for Malaysia, the fabric is super light. We mm-hmm. work in silk and we work in chiffon. So in this weather particularly, it's easy to throw on if you've gone from outside to inside and suddenly you're in air conditioning, and or if you just want to cover up a little bit, you know, over a dress or over things casual. So that was really why I thought I saw a gap in the market for kimonos here.
Where do you source your fabric from?
Right mm-hmm. now, because we're just a small operation, me and my team will physically travel across Asia, little shops, mm-hmm. you know, suppliers, handpick fabric. We have a small workshop here. So a really big part of Rosie on Fire, and partly why I wanted to start it, we purposely look for single mothers, marginalized women, stay-at-home mothers
mm-hmm.
who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to earn an income.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, all of our kimonos are produced in that manner. So
oh.
we have a few artisans in Malaysia that stitch our kimonos.
So in terms of your kimonos, you have a collection of four.
Yes.
So you have baby, mm-hmm. you have long, you have classic, and another one is silk.
Yeah.
Looking at your website, mm-hmm. the baby one is shorter.
Yes.
And the rest you have like different lengths as well, but it's almost the same. What's the main difference about it?
For everything is based off of the classic shape, which is our concept, our design that we came up with. Most of the kimonos on the market have a straight cut on the bottom, which tends to look a little bit more robe-like, sometimes not as flattering. We have things cut on a bias, so
mm-hmm.
it really flows when you walk, and it, for me, it slims me down. So it's quite flattering on everybody. So everything is based on that cut, the classic.
Mm-hmm.
The baby is just a shorter version of the classic. The silk is obviously 100% pure silk in that same cut, and the long is the only other design we have at the moment,
mm-hmm.
which is more drama, long, mm-hmm. you know, longer sleeves, a bit thicker material, done in crepe.
If someone wants to buy a kimono for daytime, tell us, how would you dress for day wear?
I think it depends, especially in Malaysia, what culture we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The thing about the kimono is here, it really can go across all the cultures. Mm-hmm. For Malay girls, we've seen them style it with a longer shirt underneath, higher neck, mm-hmm. and then they wear the kimonos over top as like a cover. Other people we've seen style with jean shorts and a tank mm-hmm. top, flip-flop, super casual. Mm-hmm. I wear them out like in a little cocktail dress if I have to go out for dinner. So the thing about it is it's so versatile. There's mm-hmm. like multiple, endless ways you could style it.
And what about nighttime? How would you really dress a kimono for a nightwear?
For me, the dress needs to be a little bit more, not body hugging, mm-hmm. but just so you can see your body shape, and then the kimono over top. One of our signature kimono styles is this ombre that we have.
Well, ombre is a trend right now.
Ombre is a trend. And because of the way it's cut, it's on the diagonal. Yeah. Like, again, seriously flattering. So ombre or plains and any of the silk collection.
Now, according to your website, only a small amount of each kimono are made to preserve their uniqueness. Mm. Can you describe what makes Rosie and Fire's kimono stand out amongst the rest?
The cut is one. So we have a master cutter that we developed this specific design. So it's our design, our pattern. And like I mentioned before, it has this flow and this draping that, as far as I know, hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. And I don't see on other kimonos, which makes it look less like a robe and more like a very flowy cardigan-like thing. So that makes us stand out. And I think in terms of the company, the other thing that makes us stand out is we're in control of the whole process, from hand-picking the fabrics, designing, you know, sourcing, to retailing, manufacturing the whole thing. And also the corporate social responsibility side for us, that comes into play in every decision we make.
Do you have like a specific fabric that you love working with?
Yeah, the chiffons and the silk.
Chiffon's always the best.
Yeah,
right?
Always the best, because for me, I'm a little bit lazy. Chiffon doesn't really wrinkle.
Ah.
Like what I'm wearing now, I didn't iron before I came here. Yeah, I can throw it in my purse and just like throw it on and it's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
The silk has a different flow, beautiful, but obviously silk, you have to be a little bit more, you know, hands-on in the care with. You have to iron it, steam it.
I mean, from four collections that you have, from Classic Baby, Long and Silk, which one can best describe yourself?
Depends on how I've woken up in the morning, you know, how I feel. The Classic is the one I reach for the most, though. Mm-hmm. Naturally, because it's longer than the baby and I like a little bit of drama anyways. And because we have so many prints, it really suits whatever mood you're kind of in, whether it's like cheerful,
kind of fun
hearts,
and everything.
Yeah, or a little bit like moody and, you know, you have kind of the moodier print. So I would say the Classic.
Rosie and Fire is sold internationally as well.
Yes.
You have it in London,
yeah,
in other places in Europe as well. But have you ever worked with other international designers in terms of collaboration?
No, not yet. But it's something that we'd be open to doing because we've just started.
Mm-hmm.
We're still ironing out like the details, trying to get some traction, just trying to get a bit of exposure.
Yeah.
But international market is something that we've aimed for right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So from day one, we half our customers are international, half of them have been local. We very much cater to both markets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely a focus for us.
2016 is relatively pretty much a new year. I mean, do you have any plans in terms of like collaborations? Do you have anything in mind?
Actually, the person that we use to cut and sew is quite a well-known boutique designer. So we are in talks with her to potentially do a special silk collection. So for us, it's doing everything step by step.
Mm-hmm.
So small collaborations like this, and then we'll see how it goes. But I would love to collaborate with the local talent because the Malaysian fashion is just so unique. I think it's just so beautiful, really one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. In the future for Rosie and Fire, when it's more established, are you looking to expand your collection?
Ultimately, I mean, the dream for everyone is to make into a lifestyle brand, right? So what we've discussed going on from kimonos is we want to introduce different styles of kimonos as well, obviously. But beyond that, innerwear as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anything we sell, they're dresses, tops, bottoms, things that can be styled underneath the kimono and then expand from there. We often get a lot of people in Malaysia asking us, like, what do we wear underneath? They like the look of the kimono, but because it's not really everywhere here yet, people aren't quite sure. So that's a gap we've seen that we would like to explore.
But what about selling your kimonos on like different fashion portals like Fashion Valet, Zalora?
We've actually been approached by a few of the fashion portals. I don't want to mention names because nothing has materialized yet. We're just in talks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were really happy to be approached, and it's something we're open to.
Is it sold in Metro Jaya as well?
Not yet, but you never know.
You should talk to Dad then.
Right?
Usually, I think that would be the first choice.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, can I sell that Metro Jaya?
Yeah, I think for me, it's something we wanted to really do on our own, you know, and just try, knock on doors, really do it on our own, which is how it's been done. Yeah.
That's great. What about fashion tips or advice to the listeners?
Oh, I would say start with an ombre or start with a plain and just treat it like you would. It's not a cardigan, but if you think of it in those terms, as in something to throw over, it can really go with anything. There's no real tip because the piece is so versatile. It's not like you have to wear it this way and it won't work if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of it just as like a cardigan, a modern kimono, it will just blend into your wardrobe. It really is quite an evergreen design.
KL Fashion Week is around the corner. It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Do you actually plan to showcase your pieces?
Oh my goodness, no.
Yeah, collections there. Why not?
No. I think there's a lot of reasons why not. Because we've just started and we really do everything ourselves. All the work, even at the pop-ups, we are there physically ourselves. There's a lot of things we're focused on for now. In the future, of course, we would love to.
So focus more on your business right now.
Yeah.
And then showcase later.
Yes.
Okay, great. Your pieces, you know, you have like four collections, you know. What's next?
We are just focusing on expanding the prints in the collection we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at introducing a few new kimono designs. Although we're coming out with a glamour collection where we're putting beading and embellishments.
Oh, it's going to look so classy.
So we're actually going to be at Bangsa BSC
nice.
For about a month at the end of April. And so we're bringing out the special collection for there. So that's as close to bespoke as we're getting at the moment. Not quite bespoke.
Okay, so where can people find you?
Okay, so we're online at rosieonfire.com. And we have quite a strong Facebook presence, and we're on Instagram as well at Rosie on Fire Shop. In person, we'll be at BSC from April 21st to May 15th. It is a pop-up store right outside the Coffee Bean area there. So if people want to come and just see like what it is, try it on, do a few spins in the kimono, then they can come and see us there.
Coming up next, Emma Chong Johnston, Managing Editor of Elle Malaysia, breaks down the latest fashion trend for you to consider. Before that though, here's Could You Be Loved by Bob Marley, played at Tommy Hilfiger's Spring-Summer 2016 collection in New York. This is Style File on BFM 89.9. It's Style File on BFM 89.9, bringing fashion to you over the airways with Azura Rahman. Next up, Emma Chong Johnston of Elle Malaysia gives her thoughts on pleated skirts.
Thanks to Princess Gula, pleated skirt had been a major moment last year. Now tell us more about it.
So yeah, pleated skirts are not something new. They were definitely a big trend last year, but they're coming back this year again because of Gucci. So there was this particular Gucci skirt on the SS16 runways, which was gold, metallic gold, midi length, pleated, and it looks amazing. And if you're a fan of street style blogs, you'll have seen them. And it's just a really beautiful kind of update on the pleated skirt trend.
And then for like, you know, gold pleated skirt, is it more to a day wear or a night wear?
It's one of those things, you know, I think you can wear it in the day, you know, dress it down with like maybe a white shirt or a grey t-shirt or something. But yes, it would also look amazing at nighttime.
When it comes to like pleated skirt, would you go for a shorter one or a longer one?
So the current trend is like a midi length, so somewhere between your knee and your ankle. But this is something obviously you can play with depending on your height, because midi skirts don't look good on everyone unless you're willing to commit to wearing heels all the time, which I know a lot of people don't want to do.
And if you have a big bum.
Yeah. But in general, I think pleated skirts are more flattering than people think, especially in the longer length. So if you don't want to cut, I know a lot of people are worried about cutting their legs off with midi skirts. So you can also go ankle length. Or you can go above the knee. Above the knee is obviously a little bit more schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
I think the longer lengths look a bit more grown up and sophisticated.
And how would you wear it, let's say, for daytime?
It's a pretty easy look to wear, actually, because the other thing about pleated skirts is they're very comfortable. So, you know, just pair it with, you know, a little white top or you can wear it with a denim shirt. I think that's a really nice look for the weekend. Or if it's more formal, like for work, maybe a structured white shirt.
And do you think that pleated skirt would be suitable for a nightwear as well?
It might not be like a clubbing kind of look, but I think it's quite a an elegant look for like going out for drinks or for dinner, mm-hmm. paired with some really high heels.
What could possibly go wrong if you're going to wear pleated skirts?
Okay, again, you need to stay away from too much volume on top. Especially if you're going, if you've gone for a longer midi or maxi length skirt, try and keep your top half, like maybe don't go with the long sleeves or the big puffy sleeves. I know that kind of billowy boho look is really in right now, but you want to keep things a bit more structured on top.
Because it's pleated anyway, right?
So there's a lot too of movement going on. Yes.
And is it better to wear heels with it or flats?
I think traditionally, obviously, people, heels look great with this kind of skirt. But you know, we live in a modern world. I think you can wear anything. Wear sneakers, like wear Adidas Stan Smiths or like little sandals or ballet flats. It's really up to you. I mean, obviously, a lot of people will feel more comfortable wearing heels because they feel it's a bit more flattering. Mm-hmm. But you know, do whatever you want, really.
And when it's pleated skirt, right, there's different kinds of materials, you know. So what kind of material should we find along the high street that would make you look, you know, fabulous?
I think with pleated skirts, you need to go down the synthetics route, because those are the ones that hold the pleats. I mean, you don't want to have to iron these pleats in, and because they're also, we're looking at kind of like knife pleats, which are just a nightmare to iron. So you want something that's going to hold it without you having to faff around with it too much. So yeah, kind of satins, slightly stiffer fabrics. Also, things like pleather are quite fun as well. I've seen a few knife pleated pleather skirts on the high street. I know H&M does a gold pleated skirt, which is very, very nice.
I see you're into gold pleated skirt now.
Yes, I think metallics are a big thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's just, you know, it's a nice kind of addition to your wardrobe.
Do you think this is something that you would invest in?
If it fits into your style normally, I would, because it's quite a classic look. And I think it's going to go, it might go away, but it will come back because, it, you know, it has before.
It's so, a store in your room.
Yeah, yeah. So just keep it and wait for the right moment.
And that was this week's episode of Starfile. If you've missed any parts of the show, catch up with our podcast on www.bfm.my, and don't forget to like our Facebook page, Starfile on BFM 89.9. Before that, we leave you with Hands to Myself by Selena Gomez, and this was played at Victoria's Secret's 2015 collection in New York on Starfile BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.